Today, I want to continue. We have been in the last few weeks talking about how God heals. I want to talk today in a different area because it's still in that same arena, that God heals or delivers from strongholds. Now, if I was to ask you to raise your hands in this building, don't do it. Who has a stronghold? Most of you wouldn't raise your hands because you know you've got one and you're ashamed of it. But just so you know, we know. If you're human, you've got a stronghold somewhere in your life. It may not be what mine is, it might not be what yours is or someone across out, but you got one. Whether you admit it or not, you got one. I'm going to bring out some things today. But I want to talk about strongholds because I believe that's one thing that the church misses today, strongholds. We don't talk about strongholds because we don't like them. Come on, somebody. Strongholds doesn't make you feel good, so we're not going to preach on that somewhere. But here we will. So I want to talk to you from this idea of stronghold, this position of stronghold, and that you do have them. I have them. I'm at the front of the line, okay? And so a stronghold, I want to talk to you about three areas. What is a stronghold? Where do they come from? And how do you get rid of that joker? Yeah. Amen. Amen. So stronghold, what is a stronghold? Well, you can just take it at face value of the word. It is something that holds you strong. It holds on to you strongly. You got one of those in your life? You begin to think about what a stronghold is. Stronghold is this. It's something that has a grip on your life or a part of your life that you can't break free from. That's what a stronghold is. Simply put, it's something that has a grip on a part of your life or an area of your life that you cannot break free from. You struggle with this thing, this area, this stronghold, and you may go for a while and say, man, I've conquered that. And then all of a sudden, it's back. You have participated or doing what you thought you had passed, and that's what you call a stronghold. So if you're wondering exactly, well, do I have a stronghold? Is there something you're struggling with in your life? It can be anything. What are you struggling with in your life that does not line up with God? That's a stronghold. That's a stronghold. Strongholds are always harmful, and most often they are sinful. Oh, Lord. They're most often harmful, and they're always sinful. Well, what is sin? Anything that doesn't line up with God's word. Anything that doesn't line up with what God calls sin. Anything that says that God says, I don't want you to do that, you ought to do this. If you're participating in that, it's sinful. When you know to do good and you don't do it, that's sin. It's what the Bible says. So they're always harmful. Strongholds are always harmful. And most often they're sinful. I'm going to give you some examples of strongholds before I get into God's word. I do have scripture. In just a moment, we'll get into that. I'm going to give you some examples of strongholds. Do not jump up and shout, that's me, unless you want to. Come on. Well, we're not going to judge you here. Amen? Come on. Examples of stronghold. Number one, pornography, male and female. Young and old, teenagers, female and male teenagers, pornography. Boy, get quiet, people be looking down. Pornography, here's one, a strong one, lying. You have a problem lying? I heard Jerry Clower say the other day, I was listening to Jerry Clower. I like Jerry Clower. Jerry Clower said that, I think it was one of them, Udell, one of them Ledbetters, said he had rather climb a tree and tell a lie than stand on the ground and tell you the truth. You know people like that? lying's a problem. They don't mean to. Sometimes they just get caught up in it. They're just talking about stuff, and they're going to one-up you on your story. They just lie. I knew a person once that he was so good at lying. If I look out this window right now and say, man, the sun is shining, and he walked in 2 minutes from now and said, man, it's about to rain out there. I'm telling you what, it's so dark out there. You think what? Man, something I just, you want to go look to make sure he was that good at lying. You ever been around those people? I mean, man, liars. Here's something. I'm going to get into your stuff. Stuff that nobody knows but you and maybe one other around you. Here's a stronghold. Jealousy. Strongholds in your heart. Nobody can really see it a lot of times. It's in there tucked away back in the corner over there. Jealousy. It's a stronghold. Are you jealous of people? Someone? Jealousy doesn't mean you're jealous of everybody. You can be just jealous of one person. Ooh. Here's another one. Envy. Are you envious of what someone else has? Are you envious of the accomplishments they've made and you want that? Are you envious? Envy is a stronghold. It keeps coming back because it drives you to want what they got. It drives you to want more. There's nothing wrong with having drive. Don't get me wrong. I got it. I walked right up to the edge of driving in envy with it. I have to put that under submission. May I confess to you that I have to put envy and pride at submission? I have to bring that thought when it comes, as the Bible says, you bring every thought captive that exalts itself against the things of God. Do you know I have to bring that thought and bring it right down and say, hold up just a minute. There's a point of being aggressive for things, and then there's this point where you step over and say, I'm envious of things and I want what everybody else has got. Envy is a stronghold. Oh, I got a list. Here's one right here. Are you ready? You ready? Pull up your socks, your big boy pants, big girl pants, whatever. Here's a stronghold. Listen to me when I tell you this because I love you. Hurt from the past. It's a stronghold. It won't let you go. You lean back on it. When something don't go your way, it's because of my past. We see it prevalent in today's society. It's because of this that happened when they were three. Now we got this problem. Well, let's give you some medicine. And there's nothing wrong with that. I'm not saying there's anything. I'm telling you, it's a stronghold that it's got a hold of us strongly. Hurt, pain, past, it's a stronghold. You got to learn to let it go. Here's one. Alcohol. Tobacco. Well, they're not good for you. Pastor, are you telling me that if I drink a beer, I'm going to hell? I didn't say that. The Bible does say drunkards shall not inherit the kingdom of heaven. Don't leave here and say, Pastor's okay with you drinking a beer. I'm not okay with you drinking a beer. If you drink a beer, that's your business. I'm just telling you, alcohol is a drug that leads to strongholds. Ask a drunkard if he set out to be on that path. Ooh, be quiet today. Most of us will be okay with this one, though. Drug abuse. Yeah, I've never done drugs. Yeah, that's right, preacher. You preach. Ooh, them drug addicts. Well, ones that made drug envy is just something you handle and you made it up on your own. Jealousy is something that you come in and you're hating it. You're building that on your own. Come on, same thing. It's addiction. Lord, I love you. And I hope these people are still loving me, Lord. We ready? I got some more. Here's a stronghold. A lack of desire to read God's word. Preacher, that can't be a stronghold. Well, I'll tell you what you do then. You find your favorite thing you want to do, your favorite television program you want to watch today, and in the middle of that, because I know you can record it. In the middle of that, you just stop and start reading your Bible. A lack of desire to read God's word is a stronghold. The enemy says, I don't want you to read your word. Why? Because if you don't know the word, you won't practice the word. And if you don't practice the word, you're not going to come to saving knowledge of Christ. And if you don't come to saving knowledge of Christ, you're going to hell. You won't know how to grow in Christ. The devil has a stronghold. He don't want you to read God's word. Here's another stronghold. Attending church. Church does not save you. Do not ever leave this place and say, Pastor said church saves me. It does not. You can go to hell right here and come never miss a service. But there's a stronghold that says, don't go, because if you go, you might learn something. You might grow. You might break out of this thing. You might overcome this, and the enemy wants to destroy you. That's his three objectives, kill, steal, and destroy. That's what he wants to do. And if he can keep you from God's people and around the iron sharpening iron, if you will, look, you will eventually be destroyed. It's human nature. We're going to tend to lean in those areas where we're most fed, we're most bathed, that feeds our physical, emotional desires. Can I be honest with you? Sometimes I don't want to come to church either. Come on. Now, you're not going to hear the holiest of preachers tell you that. I'm just telling you, sometimes I don't want to come to church. Watch, sometimes in the morning I get up and I don't want to read my Bible. Mike, I don't want to read it. Well, what is wrong with you, preacher? Oh, nothing, I'm human. I'm just admitting things you want. You don't. Sometimes you don't want to do it. You've got to make yourself, because I don't want to fall in a stronghold. I don't want to be gripped by this thing. So sometimes I say, to prevent stronghold, I will read my Bible. When I know where I'm going to be reading, because I've read it through a couple of times in my life, and so if I'm reading my Bible, I look and say, well, I'm not going to like what I'm going to read tomorrow, so I don't want to do that. Come on, somebody. Man, we ain't even got to the verses yet. A stronghold also is not participating in the things of God. Not participating in what God wants you to participate in. Do you know a stronghold can be, God can move upon you to bless someone financially and you don't do that? You know, participating in things of God, I'm not talking about necessarily the church things, the functions of the church. I'm talking about where God moves upon you to help someone do something. You say, I'm just so busy. That's going to just jack up my plans. So I'm not going to do that. And after a while, guess what? You'll never do that. And that's a stronghold where God was saying, I want you to do this. I've got a plan. If you'll do this, this will unleash some things in your life. Hallelujah. So, that's just some examples. That's not all of them. That's just a few. So, where do strongholds come from? We'd like to know. I mean, if you knew where it come from, you'd stop it, right? Simple enough. At least you could head it off, hinder it in some way, kill it or something. So where does strongholds come from? Are you ready? This is like deep, deep, deep theology. When we do not obey God's word or the conviction of the Holy Spirit. That's where strongholds start. Because God is never going to put you in a direction, never going to tell you to do something that would cause a stronghold to attach to your life. In God's word, when we rebel or disobey God's word or the conviction of the Holy Spirit, that's where strongholds start. That's where they come from. Right there, that's the start of them. The very start. We have John 3:16 come a lot, and you talk to those guys, and they'll tell you, well, how did it start for you? Oh, I just smoked a little marijuana. What happened next? Well, after a while, that didn't work for me, and I needed something a little more, a little heavier, a little harder to take, because that wouldn't get me high where I need to be. And so I went to this drug or that drug, and it just kept going on. Oh, really? And you're 35, 40, and you've lost your family and all your kids, and nobody likes you anymore. And man, that's a great plan for your life, isn't it? Did you set out to do that? Not a one of them will say, yeah, that's what I had in mind. You know where it started, though? Stronghold. Disobeying what God had. God's all, speaking to all of us at all. God speaks to you. He speaks to you, but we can go into that. He speaks to you through nature. I'm not a climate change fellow, so don't think I am, but amen. That's a stronghold. Most often, these strongholds come from repeated rebellion from God's word. Your strongholds come from repeated rebellion against God's word. Men, let me speak to you just a minute about pornography. Oh, women, don't think you're excluded, because about half of you statistically tell us y'all watch it too. Oh, but not in this church, I'm sure. So we'll just talk to the men, right? When that site comes up on your iPad or your computer, she pretty. She sexy. You say, Click here to see more. More what? Your mind goes crazy. And you click there to see more. And it was good. You saw it to be good. Why? Because it aroused the senses that God gave you. But rebellion against the way God wants to arouse your senses through marriage, through a marital relationship, and this is rebellion against God's word. Come on, somebody. But it's still fun. Feels good. Bam, get off that. Woo, glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, glory to God. Glory to God. Woo, forgive me, Lord. Look. Woo, Satan, get thee behind me. And a few minutes later, it's like, I'm fixing to get to the bottom of this. Why are they sending me? I'm going to click on this, and I'm going to send them an email not to tell, send these things to me. No, you're not. You're a liar. And, well, look at there. Woo! That's how it starts. I'm giving you an example. I gave you one of drug addiction, how it started. I'm giving you pornography. Lying's the same way. Envy's the same way. God gives you this, and you want more. God gives you this, and you want more. God gives you this, and you want more. Envy. You're not doing with what God wanted you to do with it anyway. God spoke to me a while back and said, it's bigger than you. Talking to me personally. Marty, it's bigger than you. He blesses me financially, blesses you, but he blesses me because it's bigger than me. It's not what I can hoard. It's what can I do with it with the Lord. Amen. And thirdly, the question that we all really want to answer is, can we break free or break out from under a stronghold? The answer is yes, with God's help. So, let's look at scripture for, Lord, where did this, are y'all speeding the clock up? Hunter says, no, you're just talking a lot. Okay. Let me hurry then. Not in a big way, but I'm going to. Judges chapter 6. Judges chapter 6. Anybody ever heard of Gideon? I am not going to preach a message like you've ever heard on Gideon. I guarantee it. I'm not. We're not going to talk about Gideon breaking the pots and all that stuff. We're going to back up before that. Gideon, Judges chapter 6, verse 1 says this. Now, I want you, and I told you about strongholds, where they start, right? When we rebel against God's word, what is it? It's something that holds you strongly, okay? How do you break free from it? Judges chapter 6, verse 1 says, then the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. Period. Are you connecting dots already? The children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. Remember, he's already brought them out of Egypt a long time ago. We're way down. You know the difference between a judge and a king in the Bible, right? A king has a throne and he just passes it down. A judge, most of the time in the Bible, when you see judge, and there's a whole book on them, when you see judges rise up in the Bible, that's usually to accomplish a specific task or an appointment that God has set them up for. Then they're gone, they're done, move on. Samson was a judge. Gideon was a judge. You read the Bible and that's usually what happens a lot of times. That's just a side note, that's free. Then the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, so the Lord delivered them into the hand of Midian for 7 years. Now, the Lord didn't put them there. That word delivered means he stood back and said, do it your way. That's what that word literally means, delivered right there. It's not that he says, well, I'm just going to give you over to them. No, he says, do it your way, and I'll just stand right here, and I'm not going to move, and I'll let you do your thing, and when you come to your senses, I'll be right here. So God said, do what you want to do. Keep clicking on that site. Keep smoking that joint. Keep smoking. Keep drinking that beer. Keep doing that lie coming. It'll just build and build and build. We see this here. And for 7 years, it took the children of Israel 7 years to get this in their head. You say, that is a long time. How long have you been dealing with your thing? 7, 10, 15, 12, all your life? How long have you been dealing with it? So don't think that's a long time. Verse 2, and the hand of Midian prevailed against Israel because the Midianites, the children of Israel, made for themselves the dens, the caves, and the strongholds which are in the mountains. So the Midianites prevailed against Israel. They would come and, we'll read it in a minute. And they would just wreak havoc. They had a stronghold. And here's what happens. Look here. If you look into Scripture and you take your time and you peel it back, you see that the children of Israel made in the mountains, so they made caves. So they made caves and strongholds. They situated themselves where they could live, if necessary, in a stronghold. Many of you have positioned yourself where you can still function and live with a stronghold right here on you. And God says, that's not the potential I have for you. That's really not what I called you to be. We're talking about the children of Israel. They're in a very kind of a mountainous region, and they're living way below what God called them to. Remember, he called them to where? The promised land, a land flowing with milk and honey. And now we find them in a deserted area, basically living in the mountains, this remnant of God's people. Well, that stinks. So it was, in verse 3, whenever Israel had sown, the Midianites would come up. Also, Amalekites and the people of the east would come up against them. Then they would encamp against them and destroy the produce of the earth as far as Gaza and leave no substance for Israel, neither sheep nor oxen nor donkey. For they would come up, verse 5, for they would come up with their livestock and their tents, coming in as numerous as locusts. Both they and their camels were without number, and they would enter the land to destroy it. So Israel was greatly impoverished because of the Midianites, and the children of Israel cried out to the Lord. Let me paint this picture for you. They would plant crops, they'd get things going. You feel like they're getting it up on, they're going again. And here would come the Midianites. Here would come the Amalekites, and here would come the people from the east, and they would just basically, they would trample down the crops, the wheat or whatever, and they would take all the produce that they had, and they'd take their sheep and their donkeys. Just about the time they were about to get over it. Does that feel like a stronghold? Just about the time you're to get over it, bam, it hits you again. You may be checking it off on the counter. I haven't done that or participated in that, and I hadn't lied in 6 months. And all of a sudden, bam, there it is again. I haven't looked at pornography in a year. Bam, there it is again. I haven't been drunk in 6 months. Bam, there it is again. Oh, well, you know what that does to your emotions, doesn't it? Because you're on top. Well, I'm got this thing conquered. And all of a sudden, ooh. There was something that caused that to happen. So let's read on. Let me say this pertaining to verse 6. It says, so Israel was greatly impoverished because of the Midianites. Strongholds will cause you to have lack. Lack of self-esteem, lack of God's presence, lack of ability to go do what God's called you to do. Because, you know, how many of you, when you feel like you've sinned, you don't want to do anything for God? Oh, he's not going to use me. I just feel unworthy. So? You should. You're unworthy. Big deal. Get over that. You're never going to be worthy enough. You just got to know, hey, Christ, you still got me. I'm in you, baby. We married in this thing together. Well, you got to help me. One of my biggest things that helped me was ever said, I'm in Christ. I'm just in him. If he don't get it done in me, it ain't going to get done. We're going to fail miserably, Lord, if you don't do something. And along the way, God calculates in this thing called humanity, he calculates your ability not to be at 100% all the time. He's already got that figured into your life. Do you know that? He says you're going to mess up here, 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 and here. I know that, but I'm still going to use you. If you'll just lean on me, I can use you. I know your mistakes. He didn't call you to perfection. If he did, well, he wouldn't. He'd have made a mistake. Praise the Lord. And it came to pass, verse 7, when the children of Israel cried out to the Lord because of the Midianites, they had a problem, that stronghold, come on, that the Lord sent a prophet to the children of Israel who said to them, thus says the Lord God of Israel. Now, if you're looking for a word from the Lord and he sends somebody and says, God wanted me to tell you this, pay attention. If it's backed up with the word of God, pay attention. So he sends this prophet to talk to him. Says, I brought you up from Egypt and brought you out of the house of bondage. Look at the stronghold. Watch this. He's in the business of breaking strongholds out of your life. He's done broken off the Israelites once. Now they find themselves back in that place, and he says, look, I can do it again. I can do it again. I delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians, out of the hand of all who oppressed you. How many of them? All. All who oppressed you and drove them out before you and gave you their land. How quickly we forget what God has done for us or can do for us. We forget so quickly that God has done this or that in our lives. And we just say, oh, you know, I don't know if he can this time. Verse 10. Also, I said to you, I am the Lord your God. Do not fear the gods of the Amorites in whose lands you dwell. Watch this. Here's where we find that the children of Israel got caught up in a stronghold. What does it say? But you have not obeyed my voice. He told them everything he's done. what he can do. But he says, but you hadn't obeyed my voice. See, a lot of people are in strongholds because we won't obey God's voice. A lot of us get hung up right in a spot and we can't move forward because we're not obeying God's voice. I'm really not even talking about you being saved or not saved. So just kind of put that out of your mind right now. I'm talking about as a Christian, we go to point A and we get hung up. We get in a trap and we say, well, why can't I go further? And if God's speaking to you, say, I need you to give that up. I need you to quit doing that. I don't need you to participate over here. And we know that, as I said earlier, by the word of God and his conviction, we rebel against God's word and the conviction of the Holy Spirit. We know we're not supposed to click on that side. We know we're not supposed to lie. We know we're not supposed to be a drunkard. We know we're not supposed to be envious, but yet we are anyway. And God says, don't do that. And we're rebelling against God. I believe, I'm a firm believer that most of our strongholds would break off without prayer lines, without oil slapped on you, without interceding a lot. I believe that most strongholds will fall from people's lives if they simply obey God's word. Because there's no power in my hand to pray for union or the oil. Oh, there's power in prayer, don't get me wrong. But God says, just obey my voice. That's the hardest thing for Christians to do. Do you know that? Okay, well, it is. It's hard for Christians to obey God's word. There's a lot of stuff you got to do here. You say, well, it's not hard for me, preacher. I mean, hey, it's not hard for me. All right, were you loving your enemy? Would you turn the other cheek? Oh, really? Do you give like you're supposed to financially? It's hard to obey God's word. Men, do you love your wife like God loved the church? Let me tell you, the answer is no. You don't, because you can't. I can't. Come on. Wives, are you submissive to your husbands? No, you're not. Why? Because you don't want to. You don't. Well, if he would just be more godly, I'd be more apt to follow him. It's not in the Bible, ladies. It's not in there. Stacy, it's not in there. Oh, I'm not picking on you. I don't. They hadn't been to marriage counseling or nothing, okay? I don't know. I love to pick on Stacy because she, like, get really red and, you know, anyway. So, no, seriously. What they do is not depending on whether you're submissive or not. Oh, men, don't let me forget you either. What they do is not dependent on how that you should love them like Christ loved the church either. Well, I could do a marriage session right here. Verse 11. Now the angel of the Lord came and sat under an oak tree, if you will, which was in Ophrah, which belonged to Joash the Abzanite, while his son Gideon threshed wheat in the winepress in order to hide it from the Midians. So somewhere along the way, Gideon had managed to get a little wheat and hide it, and he was over in a wine press where you're not supposed to thresh wheat, and he was threshing wheat. He was scared. He was hiding behind something because there was a stronghold out there, he thought. The stronghold was not the Midianites, by the way. The stronghold was that they had done evil in the sight of the Lord and they did not obey his voice. That's what got them to the place where they were at. The stronghold looked like the person or the people group in front of them, but it was not. Some of you've got your mind on, this is my stronghold, and it is not your stronghold. The enemy's got you blinded that here's your stronghold, but he says, no, you didn't obey my voice. That'll preach too, preacher. You're doing a great job. You keep on. Somebody needs to hear it. And the angel of the Lord, verse 12, and the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said to him, the Lord is with you, mighty man of valor. Did I tell you he was in a wine press threshing wheat where you don't thresh wheat, and he's hiding out because he's scared. And the Lord says, you mighty man of valor. You know what that, let me break it into, so I'm hip you, okay? So you know when you fall back into your stronghold, whatever it is, when you lie or whatever, you look at pornography, envious. Right at that moment, if you allow him, God will speak to you and say, mighty man of faith. What? Mighty woman of faith. Praise the Lord, God doesn't see everything because he missed that. Lord, I just lied. Mighty man of faith. That's the same thing. He's hiding out. He's under strong. And he's like, he's rebelled against God. The word tells us they will disobey God. And he's there. He's not a mighty man of valor. He's not strong in might. He's not a mighty warrior. He's a wuss. He's scared for his life. I don't know if Gideon had a wife or not, but she's somewhere over yonder. He's hunkered down in a wine press. They ain't about this tall, about that big round, by the way. He's hunkered down, threshing out wheat. Scaredy cat. And God says, you're a mighty man of valor. Why did God say that? Because God sees beyond your circumstance. God sees beyond where you are. God sees beyond your stronghold. God has provided a way for you to break your stronghold. And he says, you are a mighty man or woman of faith. If you trust me, get in my word, the stronghold will break because I've got good plans for you. And Gideon said to him, typical Christian. Oh, my Lord, if the Lord is with us, watch what he says. Why has all this happened to us? Yeah, Lord, why? You know, we think if we cry and we really get emotional, it moves God. You know what moves God? You want to know what moves God? Obeying his word. That moves God. Praying God's word. Praying what God is. Not your emotions. It doesn't move God. If that was the case, it would be all over the board. Because you got different emotions than I got. Things that bother you don't bother me a bit. Things you think, oh God, look at this big mountain. I'm thinking, that's it? See, God's not moved by emotions. He's moved by his word. He says, and goes on, that's the question, God, why has all this happened to us? And where are all these miracles which our fathers told us about, saying, did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? He's complaining. Lord, where are these miracles? You know, mama, dad, and grandma and grandpa, they talked about these miracles. My great-grandfather, he talked about these miracles. Well, where are they at? I don't see them. You know why you're not seeing miracles? You know why the church don't see miracles today? Are you ready? Because we don't follow God's word. We want to live like the world, and yet we want to grab a hold to what God has. We want to live like the world 5 days, 6 days a week. We want to come in here, and we want God's presence to come in and heal people, set people free, deliver them, and all the stuff we pray for. It's not going to work that way. Never has. We got to start obeying God's voice on Monday through Saturday. Come on, somebody. Experience his presence on Sunday so that the next Monday falls around. Guess what? We can go be what God wants us to be. Lord, I've got to hurry. I've already got you 2 minutes after. So is it okay that we go ahead a little bit long? Because the other church is already there. I'm sorry. They're already there. They cook food all the time. I'm going to hurry. I am going to hurry. I am going to hurry. I am going to hurry. Honey, will you come to the piano? Yeah, my other honey ain't here. You come on to the piano. If you're new, that means something totally different. We'll explain that later. It, verse 13, finishing verse 13, this is what Gideon says. But now the Lord has forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. You see what he said there? You see what he done? He's blaming God. You've done this, God. You put us in the hands of the Midianites. And God said, if you'd back up just a little minute, Gideon, and you'd say, I didn't move. You decided not to obey me. And I said, well, y'all go do what you want to. I'll be right here when you get tired of doing what you're doing. When you get tired of your stronghold, I'll be right here when you call on me. Because he said they called on him. And guess what? He's having this conversation in verse 14. Then the Lord turned to him and said, who turned to him? The Lord turned to him and said, go in this might of yours and you shall save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. I have sent you. That blew Gideon's mind. I'm just complaining about the things you hadn't done for me, God, and why you put us here and you've done all these things and you just told me to do what? Go save Israel? Well, Gideon just don't grasp this. He's got that little bitty mentality, and here's his response. So he said to him, oh, my Lord. I think that's the way he said it. Oh, my Lord. Oh, my Lord, how can I save Israel? Indeed, my clan is the weakest in Manasseh. And I'm the least in my father's house. Don't you see who you're talking to? Don't you know I've had my stronghold for 22 years? Don't you know I've been to every prayer line? Don't you know I've been anointed? Don't you know I've been to every prophet and prophetess in the country? Don't you know that I've been across the country to revivals to break this thing and it hadn't happened? Don't you know that, God? Come on. That's what we say. That's what Gideon's saying. I'm nothing. And the Lord said to him, some of you need to hear the Lord say this to you. Surely I will be with you and you shall defeat the Midianites as one man. Do you remember I read to you, said when they came into their village, they were had numerous camels. They were innumerable, basically. Like locusts, they would come in and trample everything. And Gideon is saying, what did he just say? One man? One man? You mean, God, if I get rid of my stronghold, I can do great things for you? Uh-huh. You mean, God, if I really trust you with this thing that's been bothering me for years, you know, Lord, you mean if I give that to you, you can use me, one person, little old me in little old Lake Village, Arkansas. Uh-huh. Yeah, you. You know where he'll start? I'm officially give you some more deep theology. He's going to start at your house. He'll start at your house, knocking up on your door, and say, let's start right here. Oh, Lord, we ain't starting here. My wife knows everything. My husband knows, and we ain't doing this. Oh, I'd just rather be in the stronghold. I'd rather be in the stronghold than swallow my pride and have to get down on my knees and pray with my wife, pray with my husband, pray with my kids. I ain't doing that. Come on, I'm teaching you some truth this morning that you need to hear. And the reason I'm teaching this to you and preaching this to you is because you're not alone in this thing. Come on, I said, you're not alone in this thing. You may have a different stronghold than I got, but it's stronghold nonetheless, and the way to get out of it is exactly the same. The way we got there is exactly the same. We rebelled against God's word. The way to get out of it is submit to God's word. I didn't say it's going to be easy. They were in it 7 years. 7 years they were there. Oh, I'm not saying you'd be there seven. You may be there 7 minutes. You may be there 7 days. I don't know. You may be there 70 years. I don't know. I just don't believe that, though. I believe God is a God that can break strongholds right now. But it is hinged upon your submission to God's word. Oh, Lord Jesus. Okay, I'm gonna condense this last part. I'm gonna go fast. Here's the answer in Scripture. This is just part of the answer, okay? Because I can't give it to you all in one setting. You won't get it. You know what do they say? Your mind can only retain what your butt can endure. That's where we are. Proverbs 3:5 says, my son, do not forget my law, but let your heart keep my commandments. For the length of days and long life and peace they will add to you. Uh-oh, strongholds are not peace. Strongholds will kill you. So right there, what does it say do first? Don't forget my law. What does that mean? Get in God's word. That's what it says. Get in God's word. Keep my command. Keep them. Not know them at only, but know them and keep them. Verse 3, let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Be merciful. Know that God gives you mercy. You must give mercy. Don't forsake these things. Verse 4, and so find favor. Watch this. You will find favor and high esteem in the sight of God and man. Do you feel like you've found high esteem in the sight of God when you've just been pulled back into your stronghold? I don't. I'm guessing with pretty much a certainty you don't either. Finding esteem in God would be awesome. Verse 5, watch this. Trust in the Lord with what? That's all of you, everything, your mind, will, and emotions, your physical being, your spiritual being. That's everything. Trust in the Lord with all, with everything. Don't give it away. Don't be like Gideon saying, I know you're here, God, but we're small people. But we're weak, but and lean not into your own understanding. There's a big one right there. Praise God. Lean not unto your own understanding. You're not God. The way you got there was because you wasn't listening to God. You were leaning on your own understanding. That's how you got in this stronghold. He says, don't do that. Trust in me. Don't try to outthink this thing. And all your ways, how many of them? The ones you like, the one you think God likes? No, in all of your ways, acknowledge him. And who will direct your path? Being God. And God will direct your path. And the path will not be to a stronghold. The path will not lead you to a place where you can be ineffective or reach a limit with what God wants to do in your life. That's what strongholds do. They get you going, and then they capture you. And God's word, when you lean on him and he directs your path, they are not to limit what God wants to do in your life. Strongholds do limit what God wants to do in your life. Verse 7, and look, I want to tell you, this is homework. You can go ahead and read the whole rest of the chapter, and you'll find just what I'm teaching you is all through this chapter. And do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord, watch, here it is again, and depart from 1 Thessalonians 5:22. Abstain from the very appearance of evil. Don't try to be friends with it. Don't try to hold evil's hand. Don't try to go out with it. Don't let it get in the back seat with you if you're a teenager. Don't let it get in the back seat with you, boys, girls. Don't let it. It's evil. Abstain from it. That's what he says. Will you stand with me? We're going to close. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for your word today. Thank you, Father, that, Lord, our hearts have been opened to hear, God, what we've all been thinking, what we all already know. That, God, there's things in our lives that we repeatedly do that just hold on. And God, we've rightly called them strongholds this morning. We've rightly named them a stronghold. So Lord, today, I'm asking you in the mighty name of Jesus, as your word said, that we would find favor and high esteem with you today. Lord, as we relinquish everything in our lives that keeps the stronghold alive. If you're in this building, I want you to pray a prayer, something similar to this. things that are in my life that keep feeding the stronghold, reveal them to me. Give me the power and the strength to overcome those things in Jesus' name. Now, I want you to pray something similar to that. You can pray it under your breath. You can pray it out loud, whatever it is. We all need that prayer. We need to pray that. Lord, if there's anything in my life that keeps feeding this stronghold, Lord, rebellion against your word, Lord, not being able to overcome temptation to click that button on the internet, Lord, that temptation to tell a bigger lie, Lord, that envious spirit that says I must have more so that I can be recognized, which is pride, Lord, jealousy, when someone that I don't care for does good, Lord, and it burns me, God, help me to not be jealous. Lord, that I may do what you've called me to do. I might not be a King David, but I might be a Gideon. I might not be an Elijah or an Elisha, but I might be the guy that prays for one person and they're healed. They're set free. Lord, I may not be one of the disciples, Lord, that were so radical for you, God. I may not be that, but I can lead somebody to Christ. Father, I thank you for breaking strongholds in this building. I thank you for the breaking of strongholds. I want you to repeat this for me. I don't know why we're doing this here in this way, but I was going to have an altar call. I think we're going to do it this way. In your everybody, Lord, I thank you for breaking strongholds in my life. You know what mine is, God. Lord, I said, you know what mine is, and I turn it over to you. I'm going to start today following your word, and I'm going to leave this stronghold behind in Jesus' name. Look, I believe that. I believe that can happen today. I believe that. You turn it over. It's up to you. Get out of your stronghold. Get out of the cave. Quit feeding that thing. Put you some blocks on your computer. Have somebody accountable beside you. Say, did you just lie? That'll stop lying right now. I'm standing here with Scotty, and Scotty, did you just lie? Boy, you'll be thinking about the next time you say something. Guarantee it. Come on, somebody.
Amen.
I love you. This ain't one of them shout me down messages. I didn't intend for it to be, neither did God. Sometimes we got to have messages that help you grow, that understand why you are and why the church can't advance. And I believe that it's mostly because each of us have major strongholds in our lives. And look, I'm at the front of the line. Come on, somebody. I'm at the front. I preach to me before I preach to you. Sometimes you don't get messages because I didn't like them. Come on, somebody. Amen. It is hard for me. I don't like this. I love you, though. Come on, somebody. Let me bless you. Father, we thank you for your word today. Lord, we pray that we find favor with God and man, as your word says. Lord, that increase, prosperity, promotions, raises would come our way. Increase. Lord, we pray for peace to rest over every rooftop. That when we lay down this afternoon or tonight, that sweet sleep would come to our spiritual souls and our physical bodies. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone says amen and amen. Hey, go work on your stronghold in Jesus' name. Love you. See you Wednesday, 5:45 for supper.